First, I want to thank Ms. Kelly Kelso and Ms. Linda Pratt for setting this up, and I want to thank you all for allowing me to be here to speak before you. So I hope we have a good time tonight or today. I'm going to speak for about 20 minutes, and I have a lot of information to cover, but we're going to try to get as much of it in as possible, and if whatever questions you have that may not be able to be addressed during the presentation, I'll be around afterward, and we can address them one-on-one. Is that okay? Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to actually start with the quote Ms. Linda shared with me. I'm going to start with two quotes, and I'm going to finish with a different quote. So the first quote is by a woman named Fannie Lou Hamer from Mississippi. I see some heads nodding, so you know about the history. In the Civil Rights Movement in the 1950s and 60s, Fannie Lou Hamer led the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. And her quote was, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." I think that works perfectly for the end-of-life options that we have before us and the state of suffering that people go through every day in this country that is mostly ignored by doctors, professionals, sometimes even family members. So my speech today will help hopefully alleviate being sick and tired of being sick and tired. Okay. So the next quote I'm going to read is by Sogyal Rinpoche. Did I pronounce that right? Okay. And I like this quote, so I want to start with this as well. Normally, we do not like to think about death. We would rather think about life. Why reflect on death when starting to prepare for death? You soon realize that you must look into your life now and come to face the truth of yourself. Death is like a mirror in which the true meaning of life is reflected. And so if we can all vibe to that quote, I think we'll have a good presentation. If anybody have any secret to escape death, then you all can have my time. Now yield 20 minutes for you to lead the conversation, and we can just figure out the magic of escaping death. But since I think we're all in the position that we know death is part of life, let's continue. I'm used to having mics I can move around with, so forgive me if I'm moving a lot. Right. Oh, I can use this one. Hello. Awesome. I'm much more comfortable moving, if that's okay with you. I'm like kind of an entertainer, so this works for me better. All right. So the End of Life Option Act, it was an achievement, right? Everybody knows about it. You probably read about it in your San Diego papers and San Francisco Chronicle, the New York Times. And we led it with a grassroots effort, right? Compassionate Choices, an organization I worked with from 2014 to 2016, had a five-year plan. 5 years, we would persuade the majority of the California legislature to pass the End of Life Option Act. We knew that was going to take some time. It's been tried four or five times in the histories from the late 80s to the early 2000s, and the bill never actually made it past the Judiciary Committee, the second committee. It'll get through the Health Committee where everybody says, yeah, this is a health right. This is something we should consider. We don't want to force people with disabilities to end their life because having a disability isn't a terminal illness. So, yeah, we can pass it through the Health Committee. Once it hit Judiciary, the committee said, you know what? We're not even going to debate the legalities of this law. We're going to ignore it completely. We'll put the bill on the shelf. We'll address another year. That never happened. 2014, a woman named Toni Broaddus, who actually led Prop 8 back in 2008 and then led ABX 215, which was the End of Life Option Act, did an amazing job organizing the California Medical Association, our grassroots team, and gave us the resources to bring volunteers together. So I'm going to take a couple of minutes to give you all this rundown before we get to really the meat and potatoes, which is the limitations of the law, and more importantly, how do you have access if you do not qualify for the law, right? Because it's one thing to have a law. We can all celebrate and drink our bottles of wine or glasses of wine, depending on how much you like. We can all celebrate the victories. But then we have to recognize the truth. And the truth is, when you're in Central California, when you're in the majority of Los Angeles, believe it or not, there's no options for you. Hospitals have opted out because we allowed for religious organizations to opt out. Doctors have also opted out of the law because if you have a religious affiliation with yourself, you're allowed to opt out of the law. A lot of doctors, unfortunately, are, I'll say, uninvolved or unevolved in the, quote, do no harm. So in their mind, do no harm means if you have a terminal illness, sir, I'm going to do my best to keep you alive as long as possible. With the technology of 2017, really with the technology post-World War II, We can keep your bodies along forever. I can keep you alive for 10 years with no consciousness. We know how to do that in America. We're really good at it, actually. World War II changed the way technology worked. Before World War II, if you had a terminal illness, what happened? You call the doctor. The doctor comes to your house, says, you know what, Joe? I think you're at the end of the line. Let's figure out how to get all your family affairs in order, take care of your business. Let's call Granny and little Charlie and Sister Susie. Let's bring everybody in and let's just have a party. Let's celebrate your life. We know you're at the end, but since we're intuitive and we can figure that out, let's celebrate you. So what would happen before World War II? Let's say you were dying in 1938, and some of you might have been here in 1938 and died and you came back, but that's neither here nor there for this conversation, right? So let's say you were dying in 1938. You're laying on your bed, children and grandchildren all around, your favorite foods being brought in from the local mom and pop shop, your favorite songs are being played, you know, little Joe was giving you a foot massage because who doesn't like a good foot massage? And you're happy. You're enjoying the peace of mind of having your family with you at the end of your days. That is how people died for 5,000-6,000 years in the world. It's always been okay. World War II, we had soldiers coming back with no arms, no legs, shrapnel in the body. And we had to figure out, how do we keep this person alive? How do we give them opportunity to get back to their husband or wife or children? And this is America, so we did a pretty awesome job in healing people, restoring limbs and attachments and organs, and we have stem cell research now. We do really good for keeping a body alive, and that's not a bad thing, unless you're suffering. So let's talk about the suffering. There are certain cancers, for example, brain cancer. I actually had a friend in Berkeley whose father was an amazing architect, one of the top architects in America. He used to get awards all over New York, Colorado, Massachusetts for his architectural design. Well, he developed a brain cancer that the doctor said he would not receive a six-month diagnosis. His cancer was going to slowly eat his brain. Now, this type of brain cancer felt like termites were chewing his brain cells away one by one. But with every bite, it felt like a hammer. Hammer was hitting him in the head. Now that hurt me right now for 10 seconds. I couldn't imagine going through that for 5 years. As an architect, he decided to put his genius to use. He was like, I'm going to create a box that I can fasten around my head, take a shotgun, and in my own suffering, because I don't want to feel this hammer bang against my head for the rest of my days. In all of his genius, he wasn't able to build the box. I couldn't imagine the mental suffering and the physics and the mathematics that he was calculating to put this structure together to contain the shotgun shells and his brain matter to make it easier for his family to call the coroner and deliver his body. He wasn't able to. I wish he knew about Final Exit Network. We would have made that process a lot simpler for him. But for the most part, many people haven't heard of Final Exit Network. And let me ask you all, by a show of hands, how many of you all before today know about the organization Final Exit Network? So it looks like about 20% or so. So let's continue to talk about the law, then we'll talk about the importance of my organization. Okay, Compassionate Choices and Final Exit Network are like the left arm and right arm of the same body. Compassionate Choices is fighting the legal battles. Fought to pass the law here in California, fought to pass the law in Colorado. They're in D.C. right now. Usually I have a PowerPoint that'll show you all the states. There's 14 states that are contemplating end-of-life options right now. When California passed it a year and a half ago, it led a wave throughout the universe. California was both the largest and my most diverse state in the world to have end-of-life options. Think about the countries that have it. Sweden, Belgium, we're bigger than those. Canada, we're bigger than Canada population-wise. This was a big deal. And it changed the conversation from the back room where I'm going to whisper to Linda, hey, have you heard about how people can end their suffering to, hey, Linda, let's bring the congregation out and let's talk as a family and let's figure this out. Let's figure out our own peace of mind. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's about, peace of mind, right? I would say you all walked into today with a great peace of mind from the energy I felt all morning. You all seem very joyous, very happy. I think if the ancient Egyptians was to see any of you all today upon passing, you all will make it to whatever that next stage is. There's good energy here. There's joy here. It's like, yeah, I just found joy on Sunday, and I brought some joy with me as well. Let's go. But that's not the case when people are suffering. That's not the case. So let's talk about the law. The law requires that you have to be 18 years or older. That's fair, right? You have to be an adult. We know children suffer, but we really don't want children making those type of decisions. So we made it a key that 18 years are up. The prognosis has to be less than 6 months. Why is that? We didn't create that out of a vacuum, right? The six-month prognosis is already a standard in America. If you go to hospice, you have to have less than 6 months to live. With that same statistic, we followed that with the End of Life Option Act here in California. It's also that same rule in Oregon. You have to have less than 6 months to live, right? You have to have a terminal illness. Terminal being the key, meaning you're going to die. Let's be clear about that. Okay, if you don't have a terminal illness, you cannot exercise the End of Life Option Act. If you don't have a terminal illness within 6 months, you cannot exercise the End of Life Option Act. If you decide when you all retire, if you all want to live in Palm Springs, Coachella Valley, there's three major hospitals there. None of them exercise the End of Life Option Act. 320,000 seniors in the community, and not one of them can be served by the law we passed that was signed by Governor Jerry Brown. It's kind of mind-blowing. It's like, why would you pass a law if people can't utilize it as their right to use a law? Religion versus state, that's a whole nother conversation. Okay, so I transitioned into Final Exit Network because Final Exit Network is an organization that looks to alleviate suffering and give you control and choice at the end of your life, almost no matter what. We don't believe in a six-month stipulation. Why? If you have ALS, if you have Alzheimer's, certain other long-term suffering diseases, you can't wait 6 months. But if you have Alzheimer's, for example, by the time you have less than 6 months to live, you've already checked out. Would y'all agree? Alzheimer's is something that you will never be able to qualify for under the End of Life Option Act, but it is something that our organization will work with. Now, what we call our work with a person with something like Alzheimer's is a window of opportunity. You all know how Alzheimer's work, unfortunately. We've all been experiencing it in it at this point. It's a process of slow degeneration. And you don't know when you will no longer be autonomous to make that decision. But whether you utilize the End of Life Option Act or you come to our organization, you have to be autonomous and able to make your own decision. Have any of y'all seen the movie Still Alice? Yes. Excellent. Okay, so we got some researchers in the room. I appreciate it. Still Alice was a woman who had Alzheimer's, and she was documenting her life every day, basically telling herself what to do when she got too far. The unfortunate part about that movie, or documentary, is that on the day she was ready, she was no longer capable, and she couldn't even remember the directions as she was watching herself guide herself through the process. You don't have to be by yourself in this. My organization exists, Final Exit Network, specifically because we don't want anybody dying alone. That is not part of how we live. That is not human. When you're born, you're not born alone. There's a group of doctors and nurses, and at least your mama's around, right? Hopefully, right? If you're born without a mama, that's a whole nother thing. We can talk about that too. So you shouldn't have to die alone. And so my organization want to make sure that you not only have what you need emotionally, you have the physical equipment that you need to end your suffering, and that the love that you've known, hopefully your whole life, is present in those last moments. And so our process is built for that. You join our organization, and we ask people to join the organization because there's legalities in that allows us to protect you and also protects us. But you join our organization, and then we simply request your medical files. So sister over here, if you decide to join today, our end-of-life coordinators will contact you, and then they'll request your medical files, and you look like a young woman. You probably got another 100 years in front of you, and that's totally cool. We're not forcing anybody to go. It's not like you signed up, and we're like, yo, 4 years ago, you signed up. It's time. You know, we're not the Illuminati. You're not holding contracts over your life, okay? So what we hope is that you're planning your death just like you planned your life. Whether you plan to go to college, you plan to get married, you plan to buy a house, you plan on having kids. Sometimes kids are unplanned, it happens, but you plan to take care of them. So we think that you should be able to plan your death. Control is something that's not out of our psyche as Americans. We control almost everything. So death shouldn't be outside of that sphere. So as we think about how we can control our life, we'll review your medical files. And let's say you're a very healthy person, but you're, you know, maybe your history shows a generation of cancer before or a generation of Alzheimer's, and that's something you're worried about. Maybe ALS. You think you're going to develop it randomly in the next 40 years or so. And so you reach out to us, and you just let us know what your fears are, what you're worried about, what your health records are. We have a team of doctors. You won't actually meet our doctors because we're a national organization. That's both the benefit and it can be sad. Because California, you go to the hospital, you can talk to a doctor. Final Exit Network, our doctors will reach out to you if necessary. But after our doctors evaluate your medical forms, we'll let you know if you qualified or if you're not qualified. Or at the point that you're totally healthy now, like I've had a 70-year-old gentleman join our organization the other day, and he said, Jason, I'm 72 years old, and I hope to live another 72 years having great sex. I hope that for you, brother. Why not, right? I support you. But in 72 years from now, if that's the time you're ready to exit, you're like, you know what, I don't think I have any more sex in me, then you call us back and we'll help end your suffering because we don't want you to suffer like that. Who wants to suffer like that? So the idea is that we're here for you no matter what. 30 years from now, 40 years from now, 50 years from now, you join our organization today and we're going to watch you, basically. We're going to watch your life. We're going to keep up with you. Now, another thing we have is what's called end-of-life coordinators. Our end-of-life coordinators will be like your sister or your brother. We're literally sending them to sit with you for the last 48 to 72 hours of your life to make sure everything is okay. We're talking to your family members. We want your family to support you in this decision. We want your family to understand that you are suffering, that you're not just, hey, I'm ready to go because it's Tuesday. I'm suffering. I have a degenerative disease that is lethal to my life. Again, keyword is lethal, terminal. So when we talk about how does the End of Life Option Act affect, let's say, my life insurance, it doesn't because you have a terminal illness. Life insurance isn't affected when you have a terminal illness, even if you choose to end your suffering. And I hope that you notice that I'll keep saying end your suffering and not end your life because that's the key, is the peace of mind that comes with this. Now, in San Diego, most of you all should be able to go talk to your doctors and receive support. You all have Kaiser or Sutter or Anthem. These insurance companies will cover your visit to the doctor. And for the most part, your doctors are obligated, unless they're religious, to have this conversation with you, to listen to you, to understand how you're struggling and why you're even seeking the End of Life Option Act. Even if you seek it with your doctor, you don't have to take the medication. Even if you have a six-month prognosis and they give you the medication, your two doctors approve of it. So let's say you're a general doctor, and let's say you're the second consulting doctor, and you approve for me to receive the medication. But on month 5, there's some breakthrough research say that it's healing brain cancer. And I still have insurance, and I want that treatment. Nobody's going to force you to take the medication and say, you know what, you signed up for it. We have your attestation form right here. You got to go, buddy. That's not how it works. You can rip that form up, keep the medicine in a safe space. People always say, what do I do with the medicine if I don't take it? You keep it safe with all your other medicine away from your children. That's just being a responsible adult. But you hold the medicine until the time that you may need it. Now, I know some people that have had medicine in their cabinets, fentanyl or other barbiturates, since 1987 when I was born. And they're just hoping that it still keeps its potency, or they're going to Mexico to try to find some more. But now let's talk about the actual medication. So with the End of Life Option Act, they offer two barbiturates, fentanyl and sicanol. Basically, a sleeping aid. If you all shopped at Walgreens and you couldn't sleep around 2004, 2005, you probably purchased this medication for $30 at Walgreens. Took one a night, had a great month of sleep. That's how it worked. As the laws began changing around the country, Big Pharma, who said nothing during the campaign, decided to withdraw fentanyl and secondhand off the market, raise the price. So in 2007, the price went from about $28 to $30 to about $300. Realistically, $300 is still not bad if you're using it as your last decision, right? It's like, we can find $300. But once the law was passed in 2015, sister, they raised the price to $3,500, upward near $4,800. And unlike Oregon, where Dan Diaz, whose wife was Brittany Menard, the 29-year-old who decided to end her life in 2014 in Oregon, when he went to the pharmacy in Oregon, he pulled out his medical card, paid a $20 copay, and he received the medication. They're not allowing that in California. You need to have $3,500 to $4,800 for the medication. Now, that becomes a little harder to chew. Am I right, brother? Nobody, you know, $5,000, you can give that to your kid for tuition or something. Like, that's a lot of money. So, again, we have to go back to why I'm with Final Exit Network. Final Exit Network is not going to charge you $5,000 to end your suffering. Our organization is based on volunteers. We have three staff, and you're looking at one of them. Okay, we have a web designer for our website, www.finalexitnetwork.org. We have a speaker series in which I'm one of the lead speakers on that, and I'm the only paid speaker. And then we have an administrative assistant that helps handle our logistics. That's it. We have about 10,000 members across the country, all volunteers. Our board, all volunteers. How do we make our money to support you? So let's say, I'm assuming you all are a couple because you're sitting kind of close. Okay, well, that would be weird if y'all wasn't, but y'all sitting very close. So let's say you decide to join as a couple. Right, first you'll get a little discount because we think that is good when people make decisions together. So we'll give you 25% discount. But more so than that, we're going to assess you both together. We want to work with you both together. And let's say in 100 years from now, you all decide to go to Miami for vacation. And you're like, you know what? I think I'm ready to end my suffering here in Miami. This has been a great trip for, you know, my knees and my rheumatoid arthritis, but my chronic pain is so bad. Final Exit Network works with people with chronic pain that I think I'm ready to exit. We'll fly out to Miami. We're national. Wherever you are in the country, we will meet you where you are. Most people, from my understanding, and y'all can tell me if this is different, but most people want to die at home, where it's safe, they're comfortable, it's peaceful. We'll meet you at your home. For whatever reason, let's say you're already in a hospice, we will meet you at your hospice. Our organization, because of our volunteers, because of our great legal team, we basically try to fulfill your needs at every turn. Now, more importantly, besides the fact that, you know, we have our own methods to help a person in their life, we also support and help you translate your wishes. So we have sheets like the Five Wishes. We have medical advance directives. We encourage you, when you join, to submit your will to us. Because when you join Final Exit Network, your living will automatically gets registered in the United States Living Will and Trust for every EMS, ambulance, hospital, anybody who will deal with you at the end of your life, they will get a copy of your will because we're going to put it up on the internet and we'll submit it as needed. That's our job. When a person decides to exit with us, we're taking care of your body. Now, a lot of people, my mentor included, she wants to go to St. Jude's Children's Hospital and let her body be done for research. It's a very honorable thing. So when she joined Final Exit Network last year, she lives in Louisville, Kentucky. She said, JC, when I exit, I need you to make sure that they know I want my body delivered to St. Jude's. That's not a problem. If she dies in Louisville, our organization will transfer her to Nashville and make sure she's there for research. Because your wishes is what's important to us. Your rights is what's important to us. Your peace of mind is what is important to us. And so I encourage you all to look into the End of Life Option Act. I encourage you all to talk to your doctors. I encourage you all to find out if your doctors locally will support you. Because if you have a terminal illness with less than 6 months to live, that is a very simple way to have the peace of mind. Keep the medicine in your cabinet and have the exit. But however, if you're worried about any of these other illnesses that may not have a six-month time limit, I really want to reinforce why you should join our organization. Because we will be there for you. We will capture that window of opportunity, and we will support you in your life so that we can also support you in your death. Now, some people, you know, I'm one of these people that don't really believe in death. I think it's a game, right? It's kind of like a video game. You die, you just come back a new character. It's all good. And I heard this joke once. I'm going to share this with you. Hopefully, it's not too rude. But they said, what if the light at the end of the tunnel is just you being pushed out of another vagina? We don't know. So from that perspective, I ask you all not to be afraid of death, but to embrace that as part of the full circle of life. Okay? I have one more quote, and I'll wrap this up, because I know 20 minutes go by, it's very quick. Martin Luther King, another, you know, famous civil rights guy that I like a lot. I'm sure you all have heard of him. he says, a threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So as you all go home from this conversation today, and you think about the people that you've known that have suffered unjustly because the doctors weren't willing to give them that morphine or answer the questions that you were trying to ask, or really just reach out to organizations like us to be that advocate and that support. That is injustice. You don't have to suffer. And if you put your life in our hands, we will ensure that you will not suffer. So I just want you all to know that your life is in your hands. And with the autonomy you make, you choose how you live and you choose how you die. So I'll take questions afterward. I'll be hanging around for a while. But I thank you all for your time. And I know it was quick, but I hope you all received something from it. The most important message that I want you to take from this is that it's really about your peace of mind. It's not about ending your life. It's about keeping your peace so that every day you can have the most quality life that you deserve. Okay? We have materials in the back. I have brochures for you all. I have some membership forms. Just really quick on the financial point, I hate to talk about finances, but it's a thing. To join the organization does cost $50 a year. After 10 years, you're a lifetime member. If you join as a couple, it's 25% off. And when you do decide that you're going to exit, if you choose to exit with us, the method that we support, unlike the barbiturates with the End of Life Option Act, which is fine, right? That's fine. They have the nausea medicine. You mix in orange juice, you drink it, you're gone in about 2 hours. The process that we support is actually an inert gas method. And so it's much quicker than going through the digestive system because it's going through your lungs. A person dies in about 30 minutes. And up until this point, we've been doing it for 20 years. We've had no complaints. So thank you all for your time.